Blog Talk Radio.
People get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just
get on board.
All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. You don't need no ticket, you just
thank the Lord.
People get ready for the train to Jordan, picking up passengers from coast to coast. Faith is the key, open up the door and border. There's hope for all among those who love the most.
Tonight on this December 19th, 2016, we're almost out of another year, and God willing to keep us, we'll come into a new cycle. But we're here at Talk Straight. Tonight's topic is power over the enemy 2. You heard from the student, one of the students of our guest tonight, Minister Nathaniel Johnson. And we're going to bring him on in just a second, and as we normally do, we'll give some backdrop for our conversation, and we'll have him to come and share with us about this powerful program they have in St. Louis, Missouri, called Freedom from Addiction Program. Again, you heard from the student and somebody that's been learning under this very important instructional piece, who was once addicted herself and found the knowledge and the strength and the path to free herself. And he'll tell us about the things that they do there and the wonderful work that they're doing in the St. Louis area in just a little bit. Let me just, for any first-time listeners, give you some background for the show. Talk Straight is an online radio format designed to assist BFC Institute, that's Building Families and Communities, in reaching a national audience. Weekly topics will focus on real issues confronting families and communities. Reverend Dr. Reuben White Dockery, Yours truly is the host. Here we will engage experts such as Minister Johnson tonight and the others that we've had in various disciplines of study and conversational topics, as well as listening to our listening audience tonight. Additionally, this show will serve as a catalyst for sharing relevant information to our online community. And as many of you know already, we endeavor to take a research-based model for building coalitional support and working together in communities with programs just like this one we're going to hear about tonight, and bringing all of them together in unity so everybody will win. We're looking to bring that to several cities, and St. Louis is one of them. The number tonight to call is 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. We would like for you to feel free to call in and talk to our guest and ask any question you might have, and that sort of thing. Let me begin first with our brief monologue, and then we'll go right into our discussion. I shared this last time with Ms. Willington. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verses 4 through 5, this passage says, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds are we healed." The National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependency Incorporated share in this background information. People experiment with drugs for many different reasons. Many first try drugs out of curiosity, to have a good time, because friends are doing it, or in an effort to improve athletic performance or ease another problem, such as stress, anxiety, or depression. Use don't automatically lead to abuse, though, and there is no specific level at which drug use moves from casual to problematic. No one really knows exactly how to pinpoint when that will do, that will take place. It varies by individual. Drug abuse and addiction is less about the amount of the substance consumed or the frequency in which you consume it, and more to do with the consequences of drug use. No matter how often or how little you're consuming it, if your drug use is causing problems in your life, at work, home, school, in your relationships, at church, in your community, you're likely to have a drug abuse and addiction problem. I think it's important to know that if I were to take a bottle of bleach, all it takes is just a little bit for me to recognize that I have a problem. The deception with many drugs is people take it, and because it doesn't kill them right away, and because they're able to come back to it over and over again, in their minds they convince themselves, "I'm okay, I can handle it, and I'm in control." When the truth is, you didn't need it in the first place. But you convince yourself somehow that I can't make it without these drugs. Hence the nature of addiction that we talked about last time, and that is this fallacy, this untruth, that I need whatever the substance is in my life to function and in order for me to feel happy or to feel whole. Tonight, again, we're going to talk with the expert about it. I understand, and I'll let him tell his own story. I won't try to tell it for him. But as I read his bio, it's clear to me that he spent many years going through different trials and tribulations, and he decided that I'm going to make Jesus my choice, and this thing is have no other place in my life. I'm honored tonight to bring our special guest on, Minister Nathaniel Johnson. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, Rev. How you doing?
Great. Thank you for joining us tonight. And will you tell us a little bit about your – Yes, sir. Tell us a little bit about your background, what you do, and then in just a little bit we'll go into some questions specifically about Freedom from Addiction Program.
Well, before I became a minister and before I became the executive director and founder of the St. Louis Community Reentry Program for Ex-Offenders and become the program coordinator and director for Freedom from Addiction,
okay,
and the program director for Freedom House. If you didn't catch
okay.
that already, everything that the Lord has given me to do is related to freedom. Freedom House.
All right.
Freedom from Addiction.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes,
it's Freedom
yes.
House and Freedom from Addiction. And so
okay.
And before that, Reverend, I was 30 years of addiction myself.
Wow.
24 years of incarceration, which I understand today be modern-day plantation. Prison is not only mass incarceration, it's perpetuation
uh-huh.
of the plantation system in America.
I see.
It still exists
yes.
under the
yes.
13th Amendment.
Okay.
And so
okay.
I also
okay.
And I also recognize that in those years of incarceration and intoxication, that there's a co-relationship
mm-hmm.
there. 90+ percent of the men and women that are incarcerated was also dope fiends and alcoholics.
Wow.
So there's a relationship, not only institutionally and societal, but spiritually between incarceration and intoxication.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, yes, sir. I found myself after 30 plus years of drugging and gang banging and gangsting and dope fiending and dope selling and prison and street life. I found myself in prison with life and 35 year sentence.
Okay.
And as I was doing that sentence, I did 15 flat on that. And I did 15
mm-hmm.
years on parole. So that's 30 years under the Department of Correction. And that was on that last sentence. I had did two other sentences prior to that.
Okay.
By the time I was 13, I was a heroin addict. As well as a gang leader. Yeah, the trafficking and drug trafficker. By the time I was 22, I was in prison with that life and 35-year sentence. 22 years old.
Okay.
And so I found myself there and in the process of that, I also begin a journey of discovering who I was and who I wasn't. And,
Tell us about that.
Well, what happened was I was in Islam for 18 years.
Okay.
I was in Moore Science Temple of America. And at that point,
okay.
I had began to
Those are teachings from the noble prophet Drew Ali from 1970.
Yeah, Noble Drew Ali.
All right.
And that was from 77 until I was released from prison in 88.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And prior to that, I accepted Malcolm's teachings as
okay.
my foundational. Not the Nation of Islam, but
The
Malcolm
African
Mike.
Organization.
More like
of,
a Malcolmite. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Hit
yeah.
the organization
so,
he started after he left the Nation of Islam.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was
All
more,
right.
more following
All right.
him doing that than I was as Nation of Islam.
I get
But
you.
I always
I
accepted
you.
Islam as the historical religion of our
Basis.
Ancestors.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Sure. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And
okay.
So, As that was more popular, you know, in the 60s. So
I understand.
Anyway, so while I was doing that sentence, I began to do a lot of studying on man and religion and economics
mm-hmm.
and politics
mm-hmm.
and things of this nature. I spent most of my time in prison doing that than doing prison time.
I see. I see. So if I might just, you know, if I might interrupt you for a second, it sounds like the blessing for you is that you had time to really be put in time out and to stop and really discover who you were. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'm saying I made that choice. You know it's a choice.
Right. Okay.
If
okay.
everything, the choice, why they choose you this day. And you know, and you know, trials, tribulations, adversity brings you to repentance if you will.
Yes. If you want
and,
to,
and,
right.
And
that's right. That's right.
If you will, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, and as I was going through that process, I'm seeking. And let me say this.
Okay.
In my experiences as a former offender and a former drug addict and a former sinner, because that's all it was, sin.
Mm-hmm.
And as a sinner, like any other sinner, the spirit of rebellion is as witchcraft.
Mm.
And all addiction is witchcraft, sorcery, and idolatry.
Okay.
It's rooted in that. It's not chemical dependency. It's witchcraft, sorcery, and idolatry. It's God, it's idol worshiping and God hating. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because you can't serve two masters. You're gonna love the one and hate the other. So if you love and crack and heroin, you got to be hating God.
I see.
So it's because you're a God hater. Yeah, you be God hater. But you don't know that because you call yourself getting high when actually you're getting low.
Okay.
Yeah, you ain't getting high. You're getting low. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Addiction. That thing don't get you higher. It get you lower. It don't bring you life. It bring you death. It don't bring you consciousness. It bring you subconsciousness. So.
All right.
Nothing about it. Don't bring you prosperity. Bring you poverty.
Now that's interesting. You say that. Now you know we're in a generational era today, in a period of time when many people who are addicted. I'm going to say anywhere between 35, to 55, and maybe a little under, who they stop valuing God and learning about God and going to church and having a relationship with Christ, right? So they're kind of in between.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your generation valued that to some degree, but they don't. So they have no context for understanding how to compare drug addiction or their behaviors there with offending God. How do you reach those people? How do you reach that population?
Well, so you meet them where they are.
Okay.
You know, meet them where they are, like Christ met the man at the pool that was there 38 years trying to find some help. He didn't tell that man about, you know, theology or none of that. He met that man exactly where he was at. You know,
I believe
and
that's
that man
right
that
he,
there, yes, sir. Yes,
I believe
so you
that
meet him right
I
there. So,
preach.
Yeah, that'll work. And so, no matter what their addiction is, you already know.
Uh-huh.
You should know as a servant of God, as a believer, that it's sin rooted. You know, it's not chemical rooted. It's sin rooted. Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, they're dealing with sin.
Okay. So when someone comes into
right
your
there.
Program,
you meet them right there, wherever they at.
Okay. So when someone comes in your program, it sounds like the first thing is important to do is to have them to reflect on the root cause or motivation for engaging in the destructive behavior in the first place.
Yeah.
And that
being
sin, as you're saying. And that being sin,
and the nature of it is sin. The root of it, the nature of it is sin.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. If you will, do this for me. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let me let you finish what you're saying. I'm sorry. I apologize. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just go ahead. I was getting ready to say with that is that the sin nature is what we inherit from Adam. That thing began with Adam union.
Mm-hmm.
So all men since Adam have sinned, falling short of the glory of God, right?
That's
all men, not
says.
Some men. Yeah, ain't no some. Just Puerto Ricans, Chinese, or Nicaraguans. All men, right? Not just African Americans, but all men falling short of the glory of God because of sin, right?
Yes.
Born
yes,
in
sir.
Sin
yes,
and shaped in iniquity. Born in sin,
right.
Satan and iniquity. So the answer to sin and iniquity is Christ Jesus.
I see.
He come to take away the sins of the world.
Okay. Okay.
And save man from his sins.
Now let me, you know, this is interesting because I follow you very clearly and I see where you're going, Mr. Johnson. But there
yes,
is
sir.
Somebody right now who is trapped in the trap house, who are afraid to go back home because they don't know what to do with themselves and don't even know how to be a human among their family and loved ones, right? They feel ashamed, dirty, and unworthy to even be seen by other people, but they don't know Christ. How do we, and I know you said meet them where they are. If I had to take one of those persons where their nose is running and they're shaking and they can't be still, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
it sounds like your programs are designed to literally lift them out of that environment and provide them time to just settle down and collect themselves and become a human again. Talk to me about that.
Well, the first thing with that is that you meet them in that need. If it's crack addiction, heroin addiction, if it's a Primo blunt, if it's Jack Daniel 40 ounces, Primo. It don't matter which type of addiction it is, sex addiction, chocolate. You know, you can eat too much chocolate. That's glutton.
That's an addiction. Right.
Yeah, food addiction, right? And all the other kind of addictions, you know, because, you know, all them things are addiction, you know, people pleasing, you know.
Trying
to fit in and get along, going along. And most people get addicted to that first, trying to fit in somewhere.
Okay.
And so they go along with things that other folks are doing just because they're trying to fit in.
Other things people are trying
to do is escape themselves because they don't know themselves and don't like themselves. It's self-hatred. It's really the self-hatred and hatred of self. And the other thing,
the other one is
that they're miserable because of self-hatred, and they're also because of their economic or social condition. And so because of that, they're either trying to escape themselves or medicate their problems. So they run to those things are built. And then you train in America, almost probably all over the world, but I know for America for a fact, that you almost train from the very beginning in your childhood that if something wrong with you, take something.
Right.
We teach each other that in our house.
Yeah.
Your nose running, take that. Your eye hurt, take that. You ain't feeling well, got a headache, take that. Your heart hurt, well, maybe you can. Then next time I say, well, you know, I got a heartache. I ain't got no headache. But here, take this. This will help your heart.
Okay. So it sounds like as opposed to pharmaceutical remedies, you have a more holistic approach to healing and coming into good health. So the program, the program itself, the structure, 1, 2, 3, what when you come in, while you're there, when you leave, how does one expect to transition in and out of your program?
Well, we do both the reentry services for those who are coming right out of prison. We do transitional housing and transition housing because they need housing. And then we also take them off the street and we take them out of treatment.
Right.
And we take them out of halfway houses that related to the Department of Correction. So we take them in every way they can get to us. And primarily, not solely, but primarily, we're looking for born again believers who happen to be coming right out of prison, don't have nowhere to go.
I see.
They have very broken family relations, and they still got to deal with the rejection and the isolation and the stigmatizing of society because they're ex-felons. And so we provide a restorative and a supportive environment to them where they can begin to reintegrate into society or integrate. Sometimes they weren't integrated in the first place.
That's true. They were locked
up. And so what we do, we take them
in prison in the community. They were in prison in the community. They just didn't know it. Right.
That's, they was already in prison. Yeah, they got the prison. See, you can't get free until you get free from the prison in me.
the enemy, right? Is that who the real
enemy? The
enemy is?
In me.
The
you
enemy.
Got to get set free from that prison first. See, that's the
right,
prison
right,
right there.
Right.
Before you can get your out of prison, you got to get out of your inner prison.
All right. Let me take a moment
prison
to
in our
mind.
So we get them in there. We get them in there, and we process them, man. We do assessment and all that, man. The object is, man, to help this brother and sister. Like I say, we're looking for them brothers and sisters who get born again because the Holy Spirit saves in prison too.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Allow me to take a break here and give our phone number out again. And on the other side of the break, I want to come back and ask you about if there's an age requirement, is it male, female, and that sort of thing. If you don't mind, we can go there and talk a little about the program structure a little bit more. But let me just do a brief announcement. We got an hour tonight, and we want to try to get our message out to our listening audience there. And give us a few minutes, and we'll be right back.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Again, you're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. And our special guest tonight, Minister Nathaniel Johnson out of St. Louis, Missouri, with the Freedom from Addiction Program. He's the director of the Freedom from Addiction Program, as well as a couple of others. Been getting some very useful information. The number to call, he's available to answer any question you might have relative to our topic tonight. Power over the inner me, too. I like what he was saying about your real problem is inside you, and when you can conquer that enemy, you can beat anything. 650-944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. I saw, Mr. Johnson, that we've had listeners as far as California and Michigan so far. So we welcome you to give us a call here tonight. And if you don't get us tonight, you can archive this show and listen anytime, and feel free to join us subsequently in the future there. And we do look forward to coming to St. Louis, Minister Johnson. And I like what you're doing, and we want to share a model by which we can connect. I find that there are a lot of good things going on in certain cities. Somehow everybody seems to be in their corner or disconnected. And that's the thing we need, is to make it work for everybody, is to connect all these good things and programs that are going on there. On the other side of the break, you were talking about the programmatic structure there for the program.
Yeah.
And I like what you were saying. You provide them housing, and you meet their basic needs, basically.
Meet their basic needs. Meet them right where they're at, man. They need clothes and food. And you know that's Matthew 25, right?
Yes.
You know it's Matthew 25, right?
Yes, sir. I know you're going to preach on me in a minute.
Yes, sir. And so, you know, we feed them, clothe them, provide shelter, you know, basic needs, man, you know. And then it's the word. The central part
right.
of it, because it's Bible-based and Christ-centered, is to get them in the word, because the transformation of the being is comes with the transformation of his mind.
Mm.
So you're transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Renewing
so we
of
get
your
them in
mind.
The word. Yes, sir. We get them in the word, and because that's where the problem is. And so we get them in the word, and then the word renew them. Now the food, the clothes, the shelter, the transportation, the fellowship, the discipleship, all that's necessary. But it's
right,
the word,
right.
man, that destroys the yoke.
Mm,
and
mm,
see, addiction ain't nothing but a yoke. It ain't nothing but a stronghold. It's a yoke, a stronghold, and it's and it can be broken, and it's an imagination. It can be cast down. It can be destroyed, and it can be pulled down by the power of the word of God, man.
Wow.
Get them in that word.
So
listen, you get them in that word and get that word in them, and then that word will do what it said it would do.
I read somewhere that it cuts like a two-edged sword. And you know what a two-edged sword is.
Sharp.
Have I got a witness? Have I got a witness?
You got one. Yes, sir.
Okay. So with the two-edged sword, that means it go in cutting and it come out cutting. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Ain't missing nothing.
Ain't nothing gonna fall but me, God.
That's it. It's coming out. He gonna take care of what he did for us, man. He'll do for them, man. And that's one thing.
My.
He gave us that for, man. According to Corinthians, he gave us that comfort so that we can help others and comfort them and they need in time of trouble. So
we got what we need
because he gave it to us.
So let me say this. There are three, according to the Center for Disease Control, there are three the basis of or origins of the disease. They say that it could be it could be biological, right?
Okay.
Right? It could be something that's passed down, such as when a baby is born to an addicted mother, they have a chemical dependency because of the mother. They say it could be environmentally. In other words, if other people around you are encouraging you or modeling that for you, you tend to take that on, right?
Yeah.
Then they say
That's true.
Could be behaviorally based in terms of the things that you're getting along with your friends and the behavior. But watch this. What I'm hearing you say is, with your program, if you happen to have been caught up and born into this thing, no fault of your own, you provide the modifying or the changing of the environment with the home. And in the home, there's such a structure that keeps you away and keep your behavior focused in such a way that you don't have time for drugs, alcohol, and all the other things that kill you. Is that what I'm hearing?
You have to provide that. If you're going to remove them from one place, you're going to have to replace that with another place. And so just like any man being Christ is a new man, well, he took you from Adam. See, the exchange bring about the change. You see, the exchange of Adam for Christ bring about the change of your life.
Gotcha.
Any man being Christ is a new man. Well, a new man is Christ. And the old man passed away, that's Adam. You see?
Right.
And so once you get rid of the Adam, right, Once you get rid of Adam, man, then you get rid of your addiction, because the addiction is in the nature of Adam, man. It's not. It ain't in the blunt. It ain't in the alcohol. It's in the spirit. It's in the nature. It's an old nature. And you got to get them to that place, man. That's why they do program 95 times, man, and they don't work.
Right. Right.
Because no power.
They know how to manipulate those programs. They know how to manipulate.
Sure. It's part of society. And then, like you just said, the other things, man, it's generational and ancestral. Mm-hmm. The addictions are generational and ancestral, and it's cultural. Mm-hmm. Americans, man, the most technologically advanced society known to man, and it's the most drunk. It's the most drunk society, too.
Wow, my. You're not having fun unless you're.
Huh?
Right. I'm sorry. I'm just piggybacking off of you. You're not having fun in America unless you're engaging in sex, drugs, or rock and roll, or some sort of music, entertainment. You're not having
trap,
fun.
Trap. And number of trap.
Right.
Prison is a multi-billion-dollar business, so is the drug industry.
Right. I'm going to comment on.
I'm talking about drugs.
I'm
not just talking about heroin and crack. I'm talking about the entire pharmaceutical industry. They need
Correct. I'm going to comment on the 13th Amendment in a second, but I did want to get you to respond to this. You mentioned or you heard in our advertisement that the young man Pookie was talking about how his only graduation was from juvenile detention to the prison system.
Yeah.
And how many people try to tell him he need to do something for himself. And he's saying, hey, I did enough just to make it be 18. I did pretty good. There are a lot of young people out there who may not have been discovered yet as addicts and or in trouble. One of the things we want to do, Minister Johnson, is to come and help identify those people and connect them with folk like yourself. Is there a basis for that? Is there openness for that in St. Louis area?
Yes, absolutely. And as you were saying earlier, one of the things is that there's a number of ministries, agencies, and organizations, man, which we need. We need both the church and the cooperation and collaboration with the community agencies and institutions to make this thing happen, you know. But the heart of it and the mandate is to the church. It's a necessary thing to happen in order for us to reach that population. The church got to be active. They got to come out of them pews, man. They got to come out of the walls, man. He didn't say sit until they come. He said go.
To the hedges.
He didn't say sit
halfway.
Until they come.
Right.
He said go.
Right.
And make them.
Right.
He used the word
I read
make.
I read where he said compel. It make compel. Is
I
that
read that too. I read that word too. I like both of them. Because you got to.
And compel, man.
To.
Yes, sir.
You
so in
to.
Other words,
because
you got time to be.
They're compelled
so
into this addictive lifestyle, their street lifestyle.
Absolutely.
They're compelled to that,
absolutely.
Man. They spend big money, man, on advertisement and other things to allure, and to attract and excite people to that lifestyle, man. America, man, is based on that, man.
Right. Okay. Oh, man,
we can reach that little brother. I was once that little brother myself. I saw that too, man. I went from juvenile offender to adult offender.
I told you
I was there, man. I was there with that life at 35 by the time I was 22, man.
Wow.
I was 13 years old as a heroin addict, man.
Wow.
Gangster and a thug.
Well, you know, I grew up in the city of Chicago, and but for God, I would have been dead. I was supposed to have been dead at 16.
Yeah.
But for God, I would have been gone, and it was a saving grace to come to Nashville to find school and so forth. That's a whole nother story, a whole nother show. But I hear what you're saying.
Yes, sir.
I hear what you're saying. I want to go back to in this next 20 minutes or so, if we can, before we finish up, and then I want to give you a chance to give us whatever you think we need to have before we leave for the night. But I did want to you mentioned at the beginning of your opening the 13th Amendment and the prison system. And you correlated that. You correlate that between drugs and gang banging and so forth and so on. Now, the Constitution says, the 13th Amendment of the Constitution says that it was ratified by 34 states in 1865. In fact, December 18th, 1865, it said thus: neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime.
Yes.
I want to underline crime. Wherefore the party shall be duly convicted. So that's another word. Crime convicted shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. If I could just get you to hit that for me, man. How do so many of our young people get caught up in the life of crime such that somebody's in a position to convict them to a life of servitude to somebody?
Slavery. Because the word, Reverend, slavery, servitude means slavery. So
slavery was never abolished.
It was never abolished in America. The 13th Amendment perpetuated it. Well, yeah, because the new slaves, the new slaves in America are called prisoners. And the new plantation is called penitentiaries.
Okay.
It's a multi-billion dollar business.
So you're saying it's a play on words. It's a matter of
semantics. It's just a play.
It's just
like they do everything else.
But now tell me this, Brother Preacher. How can I determine, you know, they look at the test scores from second and third grade to determine how many beds they build in a prison, right? You've heard of prison pipeline. What is about Pookie's life that can allow someone to determine from the time he comes from the hospital, let's say at Children's Hospital there, Burns there in St. Louis, right? From the time he comes to the hospital to the most crime-infested zip code or neighborhood, they can determine that by the time he reaches 18, we got a bed for you. What's the deal? Talk to me about that.
Here's the thing. Even when they did that in 1865 with that, the people that they initially started locking up was slaves without their papers.
That's right. Black codes. They infected black codes. That's right.
So this thing is generational and ancestral. You see?
Right.
You pass that spirit down. Just like you pass down, listen to me, Reverend. Just like you pass down the spirit of a house Negro, you pass down the spirit of a field Negro.
My.
And so what happens is that if you're still passing down, both of them are part of the slave mentality.
Okay.
The house and the field. You hear what I'm saying? So it comes down generation to generation. And then they perpetuate it by the environment. You used that word a minute ago. So now I know that half of you are going to be born in a poverty-stricken environment where crime is infested. Drug and alcohol infested. Matter of fact, we're going to make sure of this because we ain't gonna give you no license to build houses, but we're going to give you license to build liquor stores. And we're going
to
let you sell dope, too.
Talk to me, Preacher. Talk to me tonight. Now.
Yes, sir.
We're
going
to
let you sell dope, too. Don't you know the police know you got 9 crack houses on one block and you ain't arrested nobody?
You know who's going in, who's going out.
They know everything about that. And they supply it, though. I mean, I used to sell it myself. They police supply it. They'll take it from Pookie and give it to Lil Ron.
Wow. Now, you know, let's be honest now. You got the police part of the problem, and let's talk about a part of ourselves where we have this mentality, the no-snitch rule. I know you're destroying our people, but I ain't going to say nothing about it because, you know, I'm not a snitch.
Right. So you have to, that's why when you're in slavery, you know, you know the Israelites was like that too, man. You know, they cried out, hollering and carrying on. Moses came and got them. As soon as Moses got them out that time, they turned on Moses. So You know, slaves are like that. So what we have to recognize is that, well, we have to recognize that God, he would anoint us and appoint us, man, to suffer with our people. You got to bear with a brother, man. You got to bear with a sister, man, because you know they're sick.
Yeah.
Spiritually,
yeah, yeah,
mentally,
yeah, yeah.
Emotionally, sociologically. They sick, man.
The strong
so we
ought
have to
bear the infirmities of the weak. Is that
yes,
what
sir.
You're saying?
We got to do
okay,
that.
Okay,
we got to
okay,
do that.
Okay,
ain't nobody
okay,
else
going
to put up with all that, man. But we must do it because what he did for us,
my
when
Lord.
He brought us out. Matter
my
of fact,
Lord.
Somewhere else in the scripture, he told the various tribes, he said, now look, you got yours, but you can't stay here until you help your brother get healed.
Okay. Okay. Can I say this to you?
They were taking them over. I think it was doing Joshua. And they were talking about, no. He said, no, you ain't. He said, you got to get your gun, get your arm. We got to go back and get the other tribe that are still on the other side.
Right. Let me say
now,
this.
Now, that's the message I want to leave with tonight.
Okay.
That's the one I want to leave.
Right. Is that what you want to leave with tonight? All right. Well, don't go
yeah,
yet.
Right.
We got about 13 minutes before we finish here.
Let me give
you this brief story, true story. And get you to respond to me. All right. So
okay.
I've been pastor now 19 years. And
okay.
My church is in the heart of the ghetto, right? You were absolutely right. Police passed by these little dudes standing on the corner, man, about five houses down from the church, strapped with pistols, and they drinking the alcohol. I'm talking about 10, 11, 13, 12 o'clock, you know, in the morning, at night in the morning. I've been begging them, come on, y'all, come in and worship with us, you know. They walk past the church every day, all the time. We'll make a long story short. I'm getting ready to come home one night. It's about 10:30 or so. And my wife tell me, we have a little sister. When I call, let her know I'm leaving. I'm on my way. And so she looked for me. Well, as I'm locking the door up, brother preacher, young fellow runs up. Very familiar face. He said, I need you, I need you, I need you. Now, my first instinct coming from Chicago is, wait a minute now, I need to be on God. I don't know what's going on out here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've been
telling
them that the doors of the church are open. Make a long story short, I said, what's going on, man? What's going on? So I turned the alarm back off, and I said, come on in. I said, no, I need you down here. Now, I told you I've been trying to get them to come to the church and worship, right? He said, no, I need you down there. I said, well, down where? So he points down the street. I see about 15, 20 guys standing down there as they normally do. I said, well, what's going on down there? He said, man, look, shawty down there. He said, ain't no God. Man, he's saying he don't care nothing about God. And I was trying to tell him, man, that's wrong. He shouldn't say that. So I said, okay. I went on and locked up, and I came, drove down there. The minute I got out the car, the little fella said to me, blank, 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 I don't want to hear no blank, blank about that, 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 that. Do you know, we had church on that corner for about an hour and a half.
Yes, sir.
What you're telling me tonight is the success of your program and your model is that you take time not to try to necessarily give them what you know they need, but to allow them to come to realize that they are in dire need of change from where they are.
Yes.
Can you wrap
help
that up for me
it.
In a nice packet and a nice bowl for me, brother preacher?
Help them see
put that
it.
Together
because
I'm gonna get that. I'm gonna use that as a crisp.
Well, you know, it's the eyes of understanding, opening their eyes of understanding. You ain't gonna catch them on Sunday and Wednesday service. so you gonna have to be able to be the living word. You gonna have to be the living word.
But that's what the
and
church is set up.
Not,
ain't that how the church set up?
And that's how I set up to do.
For them to come in
you
on Sunday and Wednesday.
See, so you have to be that living word. You see what I'm saying? Mm. And not just the edifice. You got to be the living word.
You see
what I'm saying?
I see.
And so the people in the neighborhood need to be able to see you.
Right.
Not just on Sunday.
Okay.
Because the enemy doesn't use the traditional church.
Mm.
Right, he done used that to deceive the world. Ain't nobody trying to just come to church. You see, so what you do is that you try to get them to Christ. That's what he told the disciples. He said, "Bring the boy to me.
Mm.
Bring the boy to me.
To bring him here.
You You trying to take him to your church. Bring him to me.
Bring him
to me. And that's our job, to always get them to him. So however that door open, you just have to be available,
okay.
Right?
Right.
Listen, and you can't listen. And you got to be visible.
Available and visible. Wow.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
And so,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say what I learned that night, and that's been some years ago now, is this. It may not be at the time you think it ought to be that you need to be ready to be visible and available.
Yes.
I mean, because, you know, all the conventional hours of business were over with. Most people in the bed at that time. You understand what I'm saying?
Listen, I just picked up a brother that's been gone 15 years from prison. He got out today, and he was paroled to our program. I just picked him up before I got to you called me on the phone. I just got back in here dropping him off at our transitional house.
Praise God.
You got
praise
to be God. Available, visible, mm-hmm. and accessible, mm-hmm. man, mm-hmm. for them to see. He said, so let your light shine. Why they know it works? Because they see I'm a former dope fiend, a former hustling thug and prisoner. I'm a former slave. So they can't hustle you then. That's the first thing. That's the first thing.
Right there.
The second thing is, they say, well, if he did it for him, he can do it for me.
My Lord.
My testimony is the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, and the words of my testimony.
Help us, Holy Ghost. Mm.
That's how you conquer, man. It's the blood.
Okay.
It's the word of God,
okay.
man. And then it's our life. It's the way we live.
Okay. So that means I can't be half-stepping, even though I got the title. I can't be half-stepping and shortcutting. Is that what you're telling me?
You can't be doing that, man. We got to reach. It's reach them, rescue them, and restore mm-hmm. them.
Right. All right.
You see, we got to do that. We have to reach them. You can't do that if you ain't doing outreach.
Correct.
Once you reach them, you rescue them.
Right. I was going to say to the audience. This is Talk Straight that you're listening to. In case you're just tuning in, this is Talk Straight. The reason we named it Talk Straight is because that's what we need today in 2016 going to 17. Somebody talk straight to us. I appreciate Minister Nathaniel Johnson, the director of one of many programs, Freedom from Addiction Program, in St. Louis. But so now you're in St. Louis County or one of the surrounding counties?
Yes, my church membership is Abundant Life Fellowship Church, and it's in North County in Blackjack. And Freedom from Addiction, I'm the director of the Freedom from Addiction Program under Abundant Life Fellowship.
I'm one of the associate members. Okay. So here it is, people. Here it is. Sometimes, Minister Johnson, some guys come in with the excuse, y'all don't understand, and y'all just talking
mm-hmm.
that church stuff, and I don't understand
uh-huh.
that church stuff. What I'm hearing you do is to take the word of God and to speak their language.
Yes.
And translate for them.
Yes, sir. Yes,
that
sir.
If you geek it, he said, come anybody who is heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Take my yoke upon you. Yeah.
Because my yoke is easy.
That's
and
right.
And my burden is light.
That's
whatever
right.
that
That's
enemy
right.
is, you know, I think about the crazy man in the cave. The text suggests that Jesus pulled up, and before he even saw the man knew he was coming. Run out the cave. Now, he's been cutting and beating and abusing himself.
Yeah,
he ain't even seen Jesus. He can smell Jesus, and he's like, "I got some hope. There's some hope out there." All
and they
the
should,
stuff
they
that folks had done for this man for years, It couldn't change, but just at the mere thought that Jesus was around the corner.
Whew. Yes, and that's how that should be for me and you. Wherever we are, the world ought to be able to smell us. They'll be able
come
to
on,
sense
Doc.
We there.
Come on, Doc. Come on, Doc. Come on,
if I pull up and it's like poopy pulled up, there's something wrong with that.
Come on, Doc. Talk to me, man. Talk to me, that brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So
what we got to do. We got to make certain, man, that these brothers. Mm. So here's the other thing that's tricky, Reverend. Before
okay.
I get up off of here,
okay.
is that he told us, man. He told us in scriptures that in Nehemiah, man, we must fight for our brothers and sisters, our sons and daughters.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's Nehemiah chapter 4 somewhere, man.
Yes, sir.
He said
we
are fighting for our brothers and our sisters, our sons and our daughters.
This thing,
and we are repairers of the breach and the restorers of the way.
I see you've been off in that word. You've been dipping off in that word a little bit. But okay.
Yes, sir.
All right.
You know,
well, we have about 3 minutes here. I want to thank you, Minister Nathaniel Johnson, out of St. Louis, Missouri, Director of Freedom from Addiction Program, Associate Minister there in the area. We're grateful. We're coming. Lord be our help. We're coming,
yes, sir.
My brother. And I want to hook up with you and put our backs together. And there are a couple of other programs that I noticed that are in the St. Louis area. My hope is that we're able to bring everybody together on the battlefield in the name of the Lord.
In the name
because
of the Lord.
Because there's some folk out there that
yes,
are struggling,
sir.
Right now. And I appreciate what you're doing. And we just want to highlight
you're
doing and get that word out. Get that word out. So look for us to be as we email people and on social media, look for us to use this pre-recorded show to let people know, hey, this is one of the people,
sir.
On the battlefield.
Absolutely.
In the St. Louis area. Y'all come on where the table is spread because there's a feast going on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So any last words you want to wrap us up with? I know you got to get out of here. I know you're busy. We thank God for you, man.
Well,
we appreciate you for joining us tonight.
Yes, just to remind us that no matter how long your son, your daughter, your brother, sister been out there, your wife, your husband, no matter what the relationship is, or how long you've been out there yourself and you listening, know that nothing is too hard for God. What is impossible for man is possible with God. And to him who believes, all things are possible.
Okay. All right. This is Talk Straight, your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery, and we've had our guest tonight, Minister Nathaniel Johnson, again, from Freedom from Addiction Program, and we're about to get out of here. We're going to leave on this note. Steve Iguana talked about things being superstitious, but guess what?
Mm-hmm.
We know now that it ain't all just superstitious, but we thank you for joining us. Join us again on tomorrow night and this coming Thursday. Minister, thank you again, and we will be in touch with you, sir.
Okay.
All right.
I'll do that.
I'll do that.
Okay.